This is Geek News Central. My name is Todd Cochran. The stories that lead today's show are as follows. A probe to Alpha Centauri? Apple's under a lot of heat. We're going to talk about Tim Cook's flight requirements. Yes, airplane flight requirements. We're also going to talk about what restaurants know about you. We're going to talk about some pretty spectacular Wi-Fi in North Korea's airport. You guys are going to love this. And of course, the SpaceX Falcon Heavy is at the pad. Plus, of course, all the news of the day. I want to welcome you to episode 1250 of the Geek News Central podcast for Thursday, December 28th. This is the last show of the year. Happy New Year to everyone. This show is sponsored, of course, this show is sponsored in part by GoDaddy.com. And listeners just like you, great deals from GoDaddy can be found at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. You can support this show today at geeknewscentral.com/insider or simple paypal.me/geeknews. You can always pick up Ohana gear at cafepress.com/Ohana store. And of course, I want to give a warm, warm welcome to all the new listeners of the show. And I want to say a big shout out to all the Ohana, all the longtime listeners of the show as well. Thanks for being here. Of course, thanks for staying subscribed and being part of the family. If you're brand new, we want you to take just a few moments. It's real simple. All you got to do is visit geeknewscentral.com. And when you're on the website, all you got to do is just click on the subscribe links right on the website. It's simple. Subscribe via Apple Podcast on Android, via email, Google Play, Stitcher, TuneIn, whatever your listening pleasure desires. Or you can use the RSS feed as well. If you have no idea what I'm talking about, to get subscribed, click on the more subscribe options. It is most important if you're a brand new listener that you do subscribe to the show. That way you never miss a single episode. And of course, we're going to have on the site as well, a place for you to sign up for the newsletter. The newsletter contains everything I talk about during the show with all the links. We want you to get signed up for that. It's underneath the important links on the website. So definitely get over there and get subscribed to the newsletter so that you don't miss out. Another way informing you of another episode. Of course, we've got a way for you to reach out to us. You can do that via Twitter at Geek News. And if you want to email the show, you can do so geeknews@gmail.com. Join our Slack channel, but just by sending an email to me, let me know that you want to be part of the Slack channel. You can follow on Google Plus or on Facebook. And of course, you can watch this show on the Roku via the Tech Podcast channel at the Apple TV. You can listen on the Amazon Echo via the device that is named Alexa by telling it to play the latest edition of the Geek News Central podcast. You can listen on Stitcher, watch or view at blueberry.com. You can tell your Google Home device to play the podcast Geek News Central. And if you have a Microsoft smart home device, you can tell it to play Geek News Central. And of course, that is linked up via TuneIn. So you have to have TuneIn in your properties for your basically your Microsoft home device. Partner shows include No Better Than Average with Jacob and Jeff, The Gadget Professor with Mr. Don Bain, The Pro Gear Site being written by my GNC team, The New Media Show, which I co-host with Rob Greenlee, and of course, The Podcast Legends Show, all those linked available at geeknewscentral.com. We want to thank our sponsor, of course, for being here through the since June of 2005. And of course, that would be GoDaddy.com. GoDaddy brings you the best deals in domains, hosting, and I've got promo codes to save you a bunch of cash. All you have to do is go over to geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy, grab one of my codes or click on one of the links, and you can save 30% on new product purchases. You can get a .com for 99 cents. That's a one-time deal. You get to burn that one time, and then that code doesn't work from then forward. But you can save money on domains and actually get a free domain by getting $1 a month economy hosting for the first year. That deal for $12 includes a free domain. $1 a month managed WordPress hosting for the first year, $12. It also includes a free domain. So there's lots of ways to get domains, get hosting. And if you're a business owner, 1 month free trial of GoDaddy website builder, your choice of personal business or business plus plans. All these codes again are at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. That's the place to go. We want to thank GoDaddy for being the sponsor here. Looking at the data, I think we're on track for another record month. Definitely not as good as November, but you all have been knocking out of the ballpark. So thank you for your ongoing support and of the sponsors. Greatly, greatly appreciated. Hey, Trucker Tom. Hey, Joe on Facebook. Thanks for being here. Of course, we're live at live.geeknewcentral.com as well. There's a chat room there for those of you that may be joining us via YouTube. One thing I forgot to do. So let me send out the show and note announcement via social. We'll fire up the forces and get stuff sent. I just got off the phone with my mom, and she has got all the trophies. I accidentally started to dial her. And we determined that a couple of trophies had issues. So I've got 27 trophies to ship. Those are what the boxes look like. And three that are going to have to be remade. I'm not real happy. And it's partly my fault. I missed when we were proofing them, we had some nominees order trophies separately. And the nominee trophies say winner on them. So, yeah, partially my fault, partially the vendor's fault. And plus, we were missing one trophy. So this will be a very, very costly mistake on my part because I have to pay setup fee again and a whole bunch of other stuff. So that was a $600 or $700 phone call. I can laugh now, but when the bill comes, I won't be so happy. And that's after writing them a check or sending them almost $5,000 already. So, isn't it nice? I mean, that will prove that will show that your host is has failed. And you know, so they paid for their trophies though. So I got to make it right, and that's on me. And it's all good. We'll get them ordered. But wow, a lot of non-fun there. So I hope everyone's Christmas was good. I hope everyone enjoyed family time, and presents aside, I hope you got to relax and take some downtime. I think for me, Christmas Day was and we have really low-key affair here. I'm a gadget guy, so I get gadgets all throughout the year. So there was really no gadget out there that I really wanted. And we don't normally give, my wife and I don't give each other big presents, although I did get her an Apple Watch that she's quite pleased with. But you know, that was the big present, even for us. I think I got, some popcorn or something. It's, you know, it's all good in all honesty. And oh, a waffle maker. So, our waffle machine broke. So she's allowed to buy me appliances. I'm not allowed to buy her appliances. Isn't funny how that works, folks? But it's all good. So we'll be making some waffles and stuff. But the kids, they did okay. And of course, cash is always always a fun gift for them. But my son, he was a little bit kind of on the frown side because, you know, he was basically counting up and he says, "Dad, this is, you know, how much I got." And I'm like, "Okay, so 50% of that goes in your savings account, right?" He looks at me kind of funny. And I've tried to invoke that, you know, you don't have to spend everything. You have to save a little. And so we deposited just under half of his Christmas money. And then I'll, over the year, if he needs a little extra, then we'll tap it. But you gotta kind of invoke that a little bit. But anyway, just very relaxed. I didn't touch a device for 24 hours. Matter of fact, I missed my daughter's phone call from Tampa. She had called me, and I missed that. But you know, I didn't get on email. I didn't get on Facebook. But I was shocked the next day when I found that a couple of my team members from Blueberry had actually answered some support tickets. I told everybody take time off at they guess they were bored and they answered a few. No one else will answer support tickets on Christmas, but my team is fantastic, and I'm very grateful to them and for doing that. But they didn't have to. But you know, sometimes it's the only time you really are like super relaxed and nothing's going on. At least that's the way it was for us. But anyway, CES packing is done. The first three boxes were shipped out of Michigan this morning via FedEx. And I have three Pelican cases that are going to FedEx in the morning. Now, here's the crazy part. It always has been cheaper to ship from my mom's to Vegas. And my shipping in the weight out of Michigan was less this year. I think I had 96 pounds in three different boxes. That was $331 with a Super Saver. I don't never ship ground on the way out because ground is not guaranteed. 2 or 3 day delivery is. And then the stuff that goes here tomorrow, or the only option out of Hawaii, is 2 days. The next step down is ground. So my shipment from out of Hawaii was 316, and I'm shipping 150 pounds. So we're trying to figure out, why was it cheaper to ship? It just doesn't make sense. It's never been that case before, but FedEx maybe has changed something in their zone shipping or something. I don't know. I know that it'll be more expensive to ship back to Hawaii because there's a airport processing fee for every box that comes in. That is pretty hefty. So probably the return shipment for me will be 400 something. And plus I may be shipping some of the stuff that I was, have been stored in Michigan back to Hawaii. I haven't fully decided that yet, but, it'd be nice to have a couple of these boxes here to be able to repack and have a little closer control on, since we're not shipping 20 boxes anymore and I'm not sending $3,000 worth of stuff. So the whole studio setup and everything is going to be, 6 total boxes. And one of those is a monitor. And one box is strictly cables and power strips and extension cords. And so, you know, it in years past, I've went and bought that stuff because it was cheaper to buy and, hate to say it, throw away. But the way the system set out this year, I didn't want to just have to deal with that. So I just shipped the existing stuff that I had out. But anyway, that's what's going on. We're ready for Vegas, ready to head out. I leave out on New Year's Day evening. I'm here for New Year's Eve and for New Year's. And, fly the red eye out, get into Vegas on the 2nd, have a few days down, and then right into getting ready for the show. But before we get too deep into things today, Felix, no, the winners do not pay for the trophies. They can upgrade their trophies to from small to large if they want the bigger size. But the ones that had the mistakes were actually nominees could order trophies, and actually that's where the mistake was in the nominee trophies that were ordered. So they came as winner trophies instead of nominee trophies, and I'm sure the nominees would like to have a winner trophy, but we caught it because there was one missing. We would have never known until there was one trophy that was not even delivered. So, but no, they don't pay for that. We raise enough money to pay for the trophies. But I guess first things first, I want to thank all of you for a great year. You know, we've had a great run this year. And your ongoing support of the sponsor. I mean, it's pretty incredible if you think about it. Last month, we had our biggest month ever in total number of conversions and folks that picked up GoDaddy products and services in the many years they've been a sponsor here. So if you think about that, 12 plus years, 12 and a half years, the last month, we had the biggest month ever, and we're on track this month to have a pretty big month too. So you guys' ongoing support of the sponsors really allows me to keep the lights on, do these extra things, you know, be able to do minor upgrades to the studio, you know, all this stuff, plus, you know, pay the light bill, pay insurance, my house payment, you know, put clothes on my kids back, all that stuff. And, you know, wouldn't that be possible without that? And of course, the insiders who are contributing to the show on a monthly basis, you know, that list has grown, and all of you are heroes. And we have a number of folks that are on a $25 a month contribution level, and it's greatly appreciated. Of course, this year we added an executive producer to the show, and Kirk does a lot of the show prep for the podcast, and he literally saves me at least 1 hour in the production of this show on and every night. I still go through and review and add a few, subtract a few, but him and I are pretty synced up here, and Kirk's going to be coming out to Vegas, and he's going to be basically doing all the social media. You'll see in our live blog, he's basically going to be manning an iPad and taking pictures and putting videos up, and so he's going to be in charge of the social picture for the stuff that I do and going around. And so I'm really excited to have him on with me at the event. And we got Colton is coming. He's going to be our my cameraman, humping the camera around the area in the sands. And actually, the guys are getting a little bit of a break because we're going to be working out of the sands this year, and they're not going to have to truck, you know, go over 100 acres of the show. But you know, the scheduling is, we're fully booked for Tuesday. I don't have any more spots for that. I'm down to like 8 spots on Wednesday. And we've actually started pushing back. Unless the vendor's really super good, we're not booking many more clients, because we want to make sure that we're there and on the floor and we see someone cool, we can send them live or we can go live. It looks like we're going to be able to bring in LiveView is going to be working with us, and we're going to be able to, as it all appears, we're going to be able to send a video feed back to the studio, and we'll see how that works out. I haven't figured out the complete logistics of it yet, but so that's pretty exciting from that standpoint. What else we got going on here? So anyway, but again, I'm thankful for all of you for a great year and being a really a great audience and being part of the Ohana and sending emails and providing feedback on everything. And it's you know, I'm looking forward to 2018 and what happens here. You guys know that I take a few shows off here and there, and at this point with 13 years under my belt, you know, we don't do 110 shows. I think, what is it, 52 weeks in a year? So that would be what, 100, and we don't do 100 shows a year anymore. Just because if I did on travel, sometimes it just doesn't work out. So, you know, like example, for the next 2 weeks, everything that's going to be going is going to be going the special media feed. So if you're not subscribed to special media feed, you want to subscribe to that on the website at geekandcentral.com. That is going to be a video feed. Fair warning there. So you may want to set that up not to auto download, but definitely pay attention to geekandcentral.com, TPN TV. We'll have a live stream. We'll have the video feed. Plenty content for you to be able to be consuming about a week from now. And we'll be feeding you little bits and pieces here. But again, and just so you know, the schedule, the actual live event doesn't, the first live show will be on January 9th. And we'll be going about 10 hours a day live with 3 hosts rotating in. It'll be myself, Don Bain, the Gadget Professor, and one of the team members from the F5 team. Marlo Anderson from the Tech Ranch, he's actually got a broadcast studio of his own this year in North Hall. So there's going to be lots of content coming from both sides. We're going to work with Marlo, see how we can get his content embedded and get his schedule up too. Some of our team members are going to be going over there and doing interviews as well. So, you know, and this is pretty remarkable, but you've got two podcasters that have been part of the team. And we're, well, actually 4 total, but if you look at Marlo having his own area this year on the North Hall, but still part of the greater group. It's pretty incredibly exciting. It really, really is that we have garnered that much, I guess for a better word, garnered that much trust by the CTA to be able to do this. And we're going to be focusing a lot of startups, a lot of home innovation. So I think the live is going to be pretty kicking, and we're going to be able to bring live from the floor in. If everything works, it's going to be like not so crazy good. So you're going to want to watch our hashtag CES Live. And of course, we'll be hashtagging CES 2018 as well. We probably won't be the only one doing CES Live. Seems like there's always a couple that compete with this, but at least you'll be able to follow that on Twitter. As it is right now, I think the plan is to definitely do YouTube Live. And if the bandwidth supports it, we'll be up on Facebook right where we're at today, right on my personal page. That seems to be where everyone gets it. But these are going to be long running streams. They're going to be going for many, many hours. So anyway, cool. Hey, Tom, welcome to the show. Things are going good. I hope you're doing well, too. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. And Joe, and of course, everyone that's in the chat room, thanks so much. And those of you over on YouTube as well. But anyway, that's what's going on. And so just to let you know, I want to, you know, we'll get into the content here directly. But we had some feedback from the last show, so we'll get into the email on that as well at the end of the podcast. So first things first, I want to just bring to your attention an article that I wrote on December 23rd. And it was on my team at Raw Voice Blueberry had purchased, we're hiring devs, and we have interns coming in, and we needed an additional laptop. So we bought an MSI S63 off Amazon. And when we got that machine, it was brand new, delivered in the package, in the wrapping, stickers, security, everything. And when we, when they booted it up, it booted up to a screen with some company's login. I've been in touch with that particular company, and they had two of these, and they had an issue with the trackpad. So they sent them back because of the loose trackpad. And when apparently the previous owner didn't slick it, but MSI just turned this thing around and sent this to us as new. And we didn't buy a used machine. We didn't get a refurb. This was supposed to be a brand new machine. And as you can see, everything appears that it's a new machine. There's nothing on here, nothing on any labeling that says that this machine was a refurb. Stickers, everything, it to us, it even had the plastic peel still on it. The whole nine yards, a little pad inside. But yet, it was very obvious upon boot up that this was a refurb. So we're still dealing with Amazon on this. There's a little bit of he said, she said, pointing fingers back and forth. But this is a big issue. This is incredibly, incredibly bad. Now, the machine, I'm sure, has very low hours on it, but they're not allowed to do this. They're not allowed to take a returned computer and repackage it and sell it as new. That's not allowed when you buy a new machine. All right. And this is what has happened here. So Amazon has been, we've been tweeting on the Blueberry Raw Voice Twitter account back and forth with them a little bit. But this is a major issue. And I'll let you know how it all works out. We still have the laptop. We're trying to get some resolution here with them, and some acknowledgement that there's an issue. If I can simply return it, and we can order another one. But when you order a computer, a brand new computer, and this was like a $1,300 computer, you know, you want to want a new machine. Now, the company that owned it prior to us, they're freaked out. I've been emailing the guy back and forth a little bit. So if you ever send a machine back, if you return a computer, always, 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 folks, factory reset. You know, very simple. You can go online and Google how to do it most of the times, but always factory reset the machine. Because, obviously there's a login here. So I can't get into it, but I could pull a hard drive out and we could brute force going after whatever's on that hard drive. But pretty remarkable. And this was from a company that has photography. They're professional photographers, and they do high-end videos and they do glamour shots and that kind of stuff. This guy was a no joke company. It's and he bought two of these bad boys and sent them back because of the trackpad. Again, both of them had a little clicking where it was loose in its socket. So that doesn't bode well. But anyway, just wanted to give you a heads up on that. All right. So NASA is planning to send a robotic space probe to Alpha Centauri. Now, if you think about this, that sounds like a pretty cool idea. Now, Alpha Centauri is only 24.9 trillion miles from Earth. It's not very far. By visiting Alpha Centauri would require a spacecraft that can travel at a minimum of 10% of speed of light, or nearly 30 million meters per second. Even if this can be achieved, it's still going to take 44 years, meaning the spacecraft would not reach Alpha Centauri until year 2113. But if they're going to launch this thing in 2069, most of us, let's see here, this is 2017, so that would be 52 years from today. I'm currently 53, so that would make me, if I'm extraordinarily lucky, 105 before this thing launches. And I don't think I'll be doing a podcast at 105, but pretty exciting to think that they are actually considering this. But what's going to happen? If you think about this, is a pretty big goal to send it by 2069, 50 years. You think how far we've come in 50 years. When I was just a lee wad running around, I probably was out of my nappies by that point, but three, I should have been potty trained. I would hope so. Matter of fact, I know I was. There was no mobile phones. There was kids were still riding around in cars with no car seats. There was our home didn't have air conditioning. It was, you think about the 60s. That's 50 years ago. It puts us like 67, right? And how far we've come technology wise in 50 years. So you would think that 50 years or 52 years from now, things will have progressed even dramatically and lots of science breakthroughs. And, we should be, really pushing we should have people on Mars, that and living on Mars in 50 years, one would hope. So we'll see where this goes. But to me, this is pretty exciting. And of course, this is not funded or anything like that, but at least NASA's talking about it. And we'll see where this leads. I'm going to talk just a little bit about Tim Cook. Of course, Apple, a very rich company. And hopefully they start bringing those billions of dollars they have offshore with the new tax, basically being able to bring money home and not lose 35% of it. But Tim Cook has been told by his board of directors that he is required. Get this. Imagine your board of directors telling you, you shall only fly by private jet. You will not fly commercial. In documents filed with U.S. market regulators, Apple said the policy was in interest of security and efficiency. And of course, Apple has airplanes parked at Miramar, the old base, NAS Miramar. I don't think they call that anymore. But Apple reported that his personal travel expenses came to $93,000 in 2017. Now, was that just, he didn't have to pay for the airfare. How can his travel expenses only be $93,000? You know, when I was working for the Navy and traveling, you know, my budget was, you know, I probably invoked $40,000 a year in travel alone, flying coach, you know, and this guy's flying on a private jet. So how could it only be, that can't be the airplane cost. That must be his hotel and per diem and all that stuff. So anyway, $93,000 was his travel. His personal security expenses came to $224,000. Of course, he earned just over $3 million in his salary. He also received $9.3 million in bonuses, plus $89 million worth of shares if he met certain targets. So it's not like this guy is, you know, not hurting. He's not hurting for cash. So he could fly in a private jet on his own if he had to. But the company says, you shall, and we will pay. Apple's apologized for the iPhone slowdown drama that has caused them to get sued, and they're going to offer a $29 battery replacement for a year. And they published a letter to consumers apologizing for the misunderstanding around older iPhones being slowed down following its recent admission that it was in fact slowing down older phones in order to compensate for degrading batteries. And they say, we know some of you feel Apple's let you down. So they're going to offer anyone with an iPhone 6 or later a battery replacement for $29 starting in late January through December 2018. Here's the deal. If you got an iPhone 6, go get $29, make the appointment, get the battery swapped out. It may feel like a brand new phone, okay? They're also going to be rolling out some software that gives you better control over what happens when your battery becomes degraded. So they say that will probably come in February. So lots of lawsuits. They're starting to get sued overseas. But they're trying to be more transparent, and we'll see what happens. But Apple may actually face criminal charges in France over the iPhone slowdowns, and it faces a legal battle in France and Israel as well. So I guess a French organization called HOP, which in French stands for Stop Planned Obsolescence, filed a legal complaint against Apple in Paris this week. It also filed complaints against Epson for similar reasons. And of course, Apple faces lawsuits in the U.S., two of which were filed in Chicago by Atlas Consumer Law Group and individuals in California. At least 8 lawsuits have been filed, and there is also a suit filed this weekend in Israel as well. Under French law, planned obsolescence is not allowed, and companies found to be practicing it can be fined up to 5% of their annual sales. Ooh, this could be expensive before it's all over. So, naughty, naughty, you got caught. Okay. How many of you have done some fine dining over the holidays? And some of you may have had taken the family someplace nice. We're talking about fine dining, like we're someplace where you have to make a reservation. Well, I guess you can go dining in places that aren't fine dining that you don't have to make a reservation. But if you have been doing some fine dining, and that's usually typically where you're, you know, $50, $60 a head for the entree would be, you know, what I guess I would consider fine dining. Maybe that's too low a price for the ones that are in the, you know, rich and famous category. But there's some information out in Vogue, of all places, in the Vogue magazine, online talking about some fine dining restaurateurs says that we know more about our guests than we ever have before. You cannot have enough information. Now we have no excuse not to customize the experience. Danny Meyer, CEO of Union Square Hospitality Group and the founder of Shake Shack. Shake Shack is not a fine dining, right? And he said during the Le Grandes Tables du Monde conference at New York City's New York School, he spoke on a panel on the new era of hospitality, along with André Terrel, a Paris acclaimed La Tour d'Argent, and Raphael Lajamo of L'Icolande, I'm not French, don't sue me, a restaurant in Italy. And they basically said that now that they are collecting a lot, like what allergies, what is your choice of alcohol? What kind of wine do you like? Where's your preferred seating? This used to be like, if you're a regular customer, kept on a card. But if you're going someplace now for the first time, they've got the ability now to basically design even a menu for you that would allow you to, it's real targeted. And he says, we use a variety of platforms to listen and learn about our guests. And of course, Google and other social media channels can be helpful first step. Furthermore, we use tools like Venga, V-E-N-G-A, to aggregate feedback across channels, Yelp, TripAdvisor, and social media platforms so that that on a day-to-day basis, we know who is saying what about our business. And of course, I use some tools like that. I use a tool called Mention. It's at mention.com. And they look at guest notes on OpenTable, on Resy as well. They also know if you're a professional complainer and they're ready for the challenge. Most guest complaints are written with a constructive tone, he says, but some are basically professional complainers. They complain about everything and they can prep for them. They say that they've read your biography. We have guests come in and we've read their biography and read maybe they had really rough last year or maybe they lost someone in their life. So that may sound extreme, but all these pieces of information are going to help us do a better job of customizing the hug when they come in. There are also people who don't want a hug and for them, hospitals are leaving them the hell alone. Here's a simple rule. If I go to eat someplace, doesn't matter if I'm drinking beer, whiskey, wine, or water. If the glass is empty, the tip's going down. Okay. Do not allow my glass to become dry. Because some of you eat a whole meal and don't drink anything. I'm one of those folks that when I'm having a meal, I go, you know, halfway through dinner, I get up, I go and refill my glass of water. I drink a lot when I'm eating, whether it be water, whiskey, beer, or whatever, or wine. Maybe not as much beer and whiskey, but don't ever let my glass get empty. If you do, your tip goes down. That's the only rule. You can almost screw everything else up. But anyway, it's kind of interesting here. So restaurants are doing intel on us, which is kind of cool. So anyway, they'll know you when you walk into that fine dining experience. Hey, if you so by chance fly into North Korea, if you get a chance to visit the Hermit Kingdom, which if any of you have ever worked in military government, worked for state government, if any of you have had any background whatsoever, I would, matter of fact, I'm highly suggesting you don't go. Considering everything that's going on right now, there might be a flash in the sky. Who knows? But North Korea gets a modern staple in their airport. They have lousy airport Wi-Fi. Who would have guessed where a citizen of North Korea, if they're caught with Wi-Fi, can go to prison? But the Associated Press, Eric Talmadge, has discovered that Pyongyang's airport now has Wi-Fi. With $2, you get 30 minutes of online time. But it appears it didn't appear usable. He couldn't even get on. So it's tightly monitored. It has a very limited connection. So knowing the Hermit Kingdom, they probably said, let's just buy some routers, Wi-Fi routers, and we'll plug them in and make it appear that there's Wi-Fi in the airport, but say that we're having technical difficulties and everyone that goes through will be experience the same technical difficulty. I would not be surprised whatsoever. No, not a place that I will ever visit unless the wall comes down and someday gets opened up and the leaders there are disposed and their people are set free, but not until then. SpaceX first Falcon Heavy is now at the launch pad and have maiden flight. So they roll it out. And next month is the plan. We don't have a date. But here's what I want all of you to do. This could go down in the next 2 weeks. So please, 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 if you doesn't matter if CES is mid-stride, if you hear about the launch, please, please, please text me, okay? Send me a message. Use the bat signal, whatever you do. I want to know because I want to watch this thing. I'm going to stop and see. And so far the votes are that they make it to orbit. Okay, the votes to make it to orbit are winning in our poll. Remember, I'm going to do a gentleman's bet in Las Vegas, minimum bet possible. And if they're doing odds, so your guys' vote is, you know, what you send me an email, geeknews@gmail.com. But the emails so far are leading the way towards that it will make orbit. If you think it's going to blow up on the pad, tell me. But, you know, the two options are it doesn't make orbit and it does. And we'll do a little gentleman's bet in Vegas. And hopefully I'm still there when it launches. But I'm thinking there's better than my personal bet on this is that this thing's going to blow up. There's just, after I saw how it was hooked together and understanding the aerodynamics and loading, they have had to get everything perfect. Not to say that they haven't. If anybody can do it, they can. But he's putting his roadster in that thing as cargo, sending it to Mars. So, you know, he thinks it's going to make it, but he said there's more than a 50% chance it's going to blow up. So time will tell. There's something that's being announced at CES that I really want to talk to this team, and they're actually going to be in the building that we're in. It's a company called, and I don't even know how to pronounce it, Energos, E-N-E-R-G-O-U-S. I think this is a French company that has gotten FCC approval for the first distance charging system ahead of CES. Now, how far do you say? Well, while contact-based wireless charging can be handy, the true holy grail is range, long-range charging. And the rumor is 3 meters, that they're going to be able to charge your device from 3 meters away. Now, I'm no genius on this. I know a little bit about RF energy, but this scares the living hell out of me that this is going to be putting up enough power to charge a device from 3 meters away. I want to talk to these folks, how much power is being put out. The FCC approved it. Okay. The approval is for its watt up midfield transmitter. Oh, excuse me. It works at a distance around 3 feet, not 3 meters. Big difference. But still, that's for contact charging. 3 feet is still quite a ways. The WattUp can charge multiple devices simultaneously and should work on any number of devices from phones and tablets to keyboards and earbuds, so long as they're outfitted with the right receiver. What's more, the WattUp ecosystem is manufacturer agnostic, like Wi-Fi, meaning you'll still be able to example, charge your Samsung phone, even if the transmitter is made by Sony or Apple. How much power is this thing putting out to be able to charge phones? So when you were charging a phone, you can have a couple amps, right? A couple of amps is what's basically going into your phone. It's not a lot, but a couple amps DC is enough to really ruin your day, all right? This is a little different, but I'm concerned about the radiation effect on this. If the FCC signed off on it, it must be okay, but I would really love to put a spectrum analyzer close to this thing with a sensing probe, and I want to see how much power is radiating off this thing. I really, really do. I'll be honest with you. I don't think it's for me, based on what little I know about radiated power like that. You know, when in radar systems, they're putting out like tens of thousands of watts, right? And it's literally a microwave, and you get too close, it cooks you. Okay. We've talked about this on the show before. But if you are close to this thing, if you're sitting next to it, and it's radiating enough to be able to charge a cell phone at 3 feet away, makes me wonder. It really, really does. How do I get my logos up on live, Zachary? I have a TriCaster. I can actually put up to 4 logos up on the site. There's another one I just put up. That's what I'm using here. I have a TC1 TriCaster. The entire, everything you see on this system is completely NDI. So, for example, this video input is being sent over Ethernet to the box. This one's over Ethernet. That's over Ethernet, over Ethernet. That's the machine I'm watching you guys. Actually, that's my monitor here. This is, I'm watching chat. And this is the machine that's recording extra video. So all this is, I'm probably one of the first podcasters to have a truly IP studio. I only have one camera left that is actually have a physical connection, and it's that one right there, but not until next year when we replace it. So that's how I do that here. CNET's got their top picks for best web hosting providers of 2017. Excuse me. You know, this article is a how to find, this drives me nuts. Let me show you guys this, those of you that are watching. I got sucked right in. They did a good job here of confusing me. So let me bring this up and see if it brings up the same ad. We'll wait for it. So on the, okay, so now it's showing me the best TVs. So the actual article is on how to find free and legal books and movies. Oh, man. So don't be a pirate. There's an endless amount of public domain content on the internet if you know where to look. Libraries are number one. That's the first thing to do. But they've got a whole list of resources here. Everything from Gutenberg to archive.org to books.google.com, openflix.com, LibriVox.org. It just goes on and on. Places where you can get free books and videos. I've spent a lot of time over this holiday period reading and taking stuff. I'm on, I have Amazon's Whisper system, or basically I get to Amazon Limited. I can have up to 10 books checked out at a time. I really love it, but there's a ways to do it for free as well. You may not get everything you're looking for, but there's definitely enough out there free that you don't have to pay a penny. You know, I'm a big fan of Anchor. I've talked about them a lot. Of course, Anchor spelled A-N-K-E-R. And Anchor's come up with a $48 dash cam. I already have a dash cam that I use, but this is a pretty compelling price. And it looks pretty nice. It's got a pretty nice screen. And, again, it's just, it's an improvement or dash into their, into the network. They also have, it connects via Wi-Fi as well. So you can, it's pretty cool. $50. So a link will be up in the show notes on that. If you're not using a dash cam already, I would recommend that you check one out. There, you never know what you're going to catch or see or basically have evidence of. It's really a great way to do that. Get a massive amount of kid-friendly content in one place with Amazon Free Time. And this article is from a lady who's been basically looking at ways to monitor screen time for their kids and looking for stuff that's of quality. And whether or not the kids are accessing the right kinds of shows. But there's, we don't want them stumbling around YouTube and finding stuff. But Amazon FreeTime is an online subscription service designed specifically for content for the 10 million kids that are aged 3 to 12. And you can get FreeTime for free, provided you got a compatible device that includes Amazon Fire Kids Edition tablets, which runs anywhere from $99 to $129, Kindle e-readers. But FreeTime also expanded to Android phones and tablets as well. So if you pay a little extra, you get some extra features. A monthly fee from $2.99 up to per kid or $6.99 for family. There's 15,000 selections, stuff like Disney, PBS, Nickelodeon, Sesame Street, DC Comics, and more. And as a bonus, any purchase of a kid's tablet automatically gets you a year free of unlimited. So this is pretty cool. So if you got a kid 3 to 12, this may be a good option for you. And you don't have to monitor so heavily. The folks over at Lifehacker have got their top 10 commented post of the year. The number one accessed article on Geek News Central continues to be an Excel spreadsheet hack that was posted 6 or 7 years ago. That article, and I think Alan wrote it, if I remember correctly, that article gets like, It's insane. It gets like 50,000 hits a month to that single article. As a matter of fact, I've actually put special formatting on that page to, you know, try to drive some additional revenue out of this site. Just that page alone, people come in looking for a specific Excel hack comes to that page on Geek News Central. It is the number one for like 5 years running. I'm always in the hang time on that page is like 2 minutes. It's totally incredible. But the folks at Lifehacker, starting from the bottom, number 10 was things Jimmy Kimmel's baby should have done to deserve health care. What the end of net neutrality meant to you. Let's end the GIF pronunciation debate right now. Doomsday prep for paranoid people. There was an article on bump stocks. There was an article about stop mowing your lawn. I'm all for that. And then there was an article about stop saying bless you. That was number 4. Number 3, what about your favorite regional dishes that you think nobody else knows about? I'm going to tell you, the regional dish that I love the most and everyone knows about it is in New Mexico, the Frontier Burrito with the green chili sauce. You know, we got to figure out a way. Number 2, where to hide if a nuclear bomb goes off in your area. Well, if a nuclear bomb goes off in your area, if you're, depending how close you are, there's not much you can do. And also, number 1 article is obnoxious Chick-fil-A orders remind us not to be, I've ate at Chick-fil-A one time. It was when I was on the East Coast. I'm sorry. I don't understand the attraction. That if you actually like that garbage, I'm sorry. I don't know how they stay in business. The time I went, it was not good. It really wasn't. But I'm also a little bit of a foodie too. So those were the top 10 over at Lifehacker. T-Mobile saying, hey, we're on the fast track for 5G. Basically, their CEO today offered up a series of reflections in 2017 and predictions. With the T-Mobile front and center in the case of 5G, expects the year ahead to be a stepping stone as T-Mobile builds on the wireless spectrum it has just acquired. And hey, for those of you, we talked about this a little bit on the show before. Since I've lost all this weight, I definitely got to change my chair. I'm at the point, I've lost so much fat that this chair is no longer comfortable. I don't have no cushion for this chair. And it actually has become painful to sit here. This thing's got to go. So that'll be the first purchase of the new year is a new chair for the studio. LG debuts the ThinQ, a Google assisted powered smart speaker. And so a lot of smart speakers coming out. Some of them that interconnect with one another. They're designed to be all in your house. You have one as a master station and the rest all sync up. So lots of products like that coming to market. Also, now that the FCC has done away with the Title II for broadband, will Verizon give away or give back the taxpayer subsidy it got under Title II? You know, Verizon got a bunch of money to build fiber to the premise, which they really never implemented. Or they're also got some money for installing FTTP network in New York City. But anyway, they got, a whole bunch of cash to do that. I wonder if they're going to give back that money now that they're not basically allowed to have it. Amazon is doing a little tit for tat. They've updated the Fire TV's YouTube app to redirect users to use a web browser instead. So I have never used my Fire TV to watch YouTube, but if you do, your Fire TV now will load a browser and you'll have to do it via Firefox. Chrome isn't even on there. And basically the app interaction is gone. So a little bit of turf wars going on here with Amazon. Hey, imagine having a company called Steve Jobs. Do you think that would have a little bit of legal trouble? Well, it turns out an Italian clothing company that uses the name Steve Jobs as its brand will be able to continue using the brand name after winning a multi-year legal battle against Apple. These two folks determined in 2012 that Steve Jobs was not trademarked at all. And they launched a brand called Steve Jobs, and they have the logo's a J with a bite out of it. And of course, Apple went after them like crazy, and they won their court battle. So look out for the Steve Jobs clothing brand. Pretty ballsy, if you ask me. Oh, HTC and Motorola say they don't throttle old phones like Apple. So if you've got an HTC or a Motorola phone, don't worry, it won't be throttled. Also, over at Bustle.com, America's Girl 2018 Girl of the Year is Lucina Vega, an aspiring astronaut and STEM role model. So very, very cool. So American Girls 2018 Girl of the Year again is Lucina Vega. And so exciting stuff. I'll have the link up in the show notes on that for ladies to check out. Most common password 2007. Of course, this should not surprise you. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Come on. Who's doing that? Who's doing that? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Come on. Don't do that. Russia. My God, this is incredible. They lost a $45 million satellite because of a launch pad mix-up. Now get this. The 2.6 billion ruble, or $45 million satellite, called the Meteorite M, was launched last month from the Vostochna with the Roscosmos, losing contact with it shortly after. And then emerged that the rocket carrying the satellite had been programmed with the wrong coordinates, and had instead been given bearings far off Cosmodrome Baikonur. So basically, the rocket thought it was in Baikonur, and when it launched, it headed off in the direction it thought it would have to go to make orbit. Oh my, it was a coding error. How does that happen? You know, the way the Russians are, that programmer's probably two bullets to the head. You know, can you imagine $45 million satellite and they program the rocket? They said it was launching from somewhere where it wasn't. Oh my God. Yeah. On track there. Good job. Good job, Russians. Oh, Vladimir says, bring me him. Bring me him. Take him to KGB. You know, go ahead. Take him. Do we want to see him ever again? South Korea has enacted cryptocurrency regulations. The South Korean government announced a new cryptocurrency regulation today, which led to a 12% 8% drop in Bitcoin and Ethereum prices, respectively, after U.S. and Japan. South Korea is the world's third largest market for cryptocurrencies. Beginning next month, anonymous cryptocurrency accounts will no longer be allowed under the new legislation, and regulators will continually monitor cryptocurrency exchanges going forward. In a statement, the government said cryptocurrency speculation has been irrational, overheated in Korea. The government can't let this abnormal situation of speculation go on any longer. That's right. Regulate it. Regulate the cryptocurrency. That's what's coming. The Wall Street Journal reports that the country's Justice Ministry might even propose legislation that would shut down exchanges nationwide, but details about how or when this would happen weren't provided. So I bet you a lot of South Koreans are bailing. So we know that this month, Bitcoin hit an all-time high that approached $20,000. And after starting the year at 1,000. So how many of you are still all in on cryptocurrencies? Apple and Amazon say they may set up shop in Saudi Arabia soon. Saudi Arabia has slowly been changing its attitude towards tech over the past 2 years, trying to lure in foreign investments from Silicon Valley. Now Reuters reports that both Apple and Amazon are in talks to set up shop in the conservative country. Apple has a presence in Saudi Arabia, but it's through third parties. None of big international tech companies have direct retail in the country, but that may be about to change. It's also not surprising that Amazon interest in the Middle East earlier this year. The online retailer giant acquired souq.com, which is touted as Amazon of the Middle East. So we'll see. We'll see what happens there. They got plenty money to spend. Google Photos compiled your pictures in the Smiles of 2017 video. So if you have a Google video, a Google photo account, look for that video. They have a compilation for you. Uber has also sold a stake to SoftBank, valuing the ride-hailing company at $48 billion, down from $70 billion. SoftBank Group and a consortium of investors plan to purchase 17.5% of Uber at a price of about $33 a share. So this is all in regards to a 2019 initial public offering where SoftBank will probably clean up. Netflix movie Bright nabs 11 million viewers in its first 3 days. I haven't watched it yet, but Will Smith paid off for Netflix, even though it didn't do as well as Stranger Things. I've been watching The Crown, and I'm through, I think, episode 6 of The Crown. I really do like that particular series. I'm learning stuff, and they've got some true stuff in there. It's historically, I'm like, whoa, that's cool. So probably old news to anyone in the UK, but definitely, I'd love to hear some of our UK listeners. Have you seen The Crown on Netflix? Is it available for you? Well, Apple's new flagship store in Chicago opened with a lot of critical acclaim, but they've got a problem. They didn't plan for snow on the roof, and they've got a big problem. People are getting hit by ice and snow. And they've had to cordon off an area outside the store. And basically people are getting hit by, the roof was not designed with it's snow in mind. And so Apple's going to have to figure out how to fix that when it gets warm. But for now, they've got it cordoned off and that area is off limits. You ought to think about climates before you build something. LastPass fixes a fingerprint security flaw in its authenticator app. This is the second security flaw they've had this year. I'm still a big fan of LastPass, but I'm glad they've got this fixed. But if you have got the app, please update it. It's needed. The president has made a declaration that he'd like to go back to the moon. And on December 11th, the president signed Space Policy Directive 1, a document that shifts U.S. policy directing NASA and astronauts on the moon before sending them on to Mars. The docket made no mention of funding or deadlines, of course, but they want to put folks back on the moon first. There's nothing on the moon. Let's just keep on going. So let's go there. But anyway. That's what this administration goals are. If you were in New England and watching the night sky, a fireball had lit up the sky. Apparently, there's a meteorite that came across on, what day was it? On Tuesday evening. So if you were in southern Maine or in New Hampshire, you're able to see this. But it was pretty impressive. And it was caught on a lot of cameras. I have a link up in the show notes. Also, over on the techhive.com, and I'm trying to close an ad here. You know, this is, I don't need to see your ad. Okay, so they've got an article on the 2017 Cord Cutter Awards. Best new streaming hardware is the Roku Streaming Stick. Most approved streaming platform is NVIDIA Shield TV. Best new streaming service is YouTube TV, which I don't think I can get here. Most improved streaming service was Fubo TV. Best new use of an on-air antenna, Fire TV Edition televisions. Best new streaming TV features are hands-free voice control, both from Google and Amazon. Life Achievement Award went to Silicon Dust. The maker of HD Home Run Network Tuners has been around for more than a decade now, letting you stream live TV from an antenna to devices around the house. This year, HD Home Run got a boost from more DVR options that make use of those network tuners, including Plex DVR and Channel DVR for Apple users. So Silicon Dust even launched a new version of its basic connect-over air tuners, including a quad tuner model. So I'd never heard of HD Home Run. So that's kind of cool. So it lets you stream live TV from an antenna to devices around your house. Awesome. Cord cutting MVP was Hulu. My son loves Hulu. My youngest son, he's on it a lot. I don't find anything over there that's very enticing. Netflix has teamed up with WhatsApp to communicate with customers. And of course, if you're a WhatsApp user, you can do that. Now, listen to this. We know that it's being reported that the iPhone X sales have been not so great. I was in an Apple store on the 26th. I had to go down and pick up a couple of things, a couple of adapters primarily. And I was playing around with the iPhone X. I played with one before, but I'm going to be honest with you. I'm not a fan. I'm really not. And I watch people's behaviors. The iPhone X table was empty, but the iPhone 8 table was full. And I asked a couple of people, why do you like the iPhone 8 over the iPhone 10? And to a person, be able to unlock with your thumb. They're not real comfortable with the face unlocking feature. So it's being rumored that Apple's going to cut the price. They've got enough overhead in the phone to be able to do so. So we'll see if they discount it. So if they knock a couple hundred off it, that would really be effective, I think, in getting some people to move. But I think they just took a step too far with this phone. And the little loop out at the top is just kind of weird. They should have just put the speaker in the top of the phone. You compare it to Samsung Galaxy, and I don't know. I think the Galaxy wins a little bit in this case. I know many of you are in the iOS ecosphere here, but even surprisingly, though, it's being reported by 9to5Mac that the iPhone X outsold iPhone 8 and iPhone 8 Plus combined during the first month of availability, but maybe not for the long run. But you know, the iPhone X is largely, I was actually in the store and they had earbuds or whatever they call them, were being sold in the store. They had a shipment come in the day after Christmas and people were flocking to them. I should have picked up a couple and just put them on eBay and sold them. Thousands of websites are quietly fighting ad blocking. And I guess that there's all kinds of cat and mouse stuff going on between the ad blockers and those that are trying to get around ad blocking. And it appears that 30.5% of the top 100 websites have measures to thwart ad blocking. And they're frequently using methods you wouldn't likely notice to be able to get the ads to load. So looking forward to finding out more information about that. I really am, because don't they understand that the reason many folks are doing ad blocking is because you become too invasive? Amazon is looks like they're going to start advertising more heavily. Amazon's going to be using online ads outside of sales pitches for Echo speakers. They're going to be expanding their online ad business to TV and mobile. So expect to start seeing Amazon pushing ads to you in those mediums, all right? All right, some deals here. If you got any money left over from Christmas, get a pair of Sennheiser noise-canceling headphones for $200. There's a whole bunch of deals in this list. This is from Ars Technica, stuff that's on sale post-Christmas. So if you've still got some cash left over and Santa Claus didn't bring you everything, you definitely want to check out this list. Also, the Galaxy S9 and Galaxy S9 Plus are close to launch with FCC certification. And it's being reported to be launched later, a month earlier than their predecessor. So maybe we're going to see the S9 at CES. I'm not going to be in that building, but we'll keep an eye out. All right. Also got some, this is a season where people may be making a lot of hot cocoa or making a lot of tea. It's very cold in many of the places. And, you know, obviously I'm doing the show in shorts today. And I know some of you are hating me. I was getting complaints from Angelo. It was -9 where he was at. But if you need to warm up some water, there's a $29 kettle. Electric kettles are really awesome for boiling water. And there's a code on that. If you want to save some money, it's normally a $40 kettle. Having a Japanese wife, we've had a hot water kettle since we've been married. That come with the wedding ring. That's every Japanese home has one. And finally tonight, an interesting article over in Axios. Mark Zuckerberg's real campaign, Save Facebook. I guess that people thought he was running for president, but he's been going around, I guess, to prop up and help the company get past legislative hurdles and a bunch of other stuff. So it's interesting that he's worried about the company. All right, let me go ahead and load up the email. Bada bing, bada boom. And did I get a response already from him? Let me look. Come on, load. Let me see here. Oh, that's good news. Comments. All right, I got an email from Jack. He says, Todd, on your last episode, you were on a rant about Apple slowing down older iPhone processors. That was not arbitrary. Apple was correcting a shutdown problem as the iPhone battery ages. You know, as a battery ages, its ability to hold a charge reduces. But in addition to that, its ability to deliver the same amount of power also reduces. So when a processor is running at full speed, it's drawing the most power from the battery. If that battery can't deliver that power, the voltage drops when a digital device does not get the required voltage. It will shut down. There may be still plenty of charge left in the battery, and it will have a full voltage when the phone is idling. But turn all the radios on or start a download and process a nice large picture, and it may shut down. Personally, I'd rather a slowdown than a shutdown. Now, I understand the reasoning, Jack. The problem is they didn't tell anybody. So that's a big part of it. Mike, thank you for your vote. Kirk, thank you for your vote. Andy, thank you for your vote. So we've got a number of votes that have come in. Some have come in via Facebook as well. But anyway, those were some of the emails that came in on voting on the will it fly or will it blow up. But anyway, we're going to wrap the show up here. I want to thank everyone for being part of the Ohana here, being part of the Geek & Central family. I want to thank you for your ongoing support of GoDaddy, my sponsor. It is incredibly heartening, and I continue to be absolutely humbled by the longtime support and longtime listeners being here month after month, year after year. We've been on an incredible ride. There's only a handful of shows that started in the 2004 range that are still online and still producing a podcast, probably two hands worth. There's not a lot. And it takes a lot of effort for me to get this show knocked out twice a week for you. I love doing it, and definitely appreciate you all being here throughout. And based on our Apple stats, 97% of you stay to the end of the show. So that's some incredible statistics for the show. And I want to thank all of you for hanging to the end, because sometimes we announce giveaways and stuff. But again, off to Vegas for CES and for my big jaunt of the year, and a few down days in Vegas. Then we go to work and create a lot of content. The content team starts arriving over the weekend, but airline tickets to Vegas were insane this year. So a few days early to save $600-$700 on airline tickets was a large reason I'm going as early as I am. But definitely appreciate you being here and being part of the family. We'll see you on the next go around of the Geek News Central podcast. Everyone take care, and we'll see you in the new year. All right, everyone, happy new year, and may it be a joyous one for you, and upward and onward. Everyone take care. We'll see you next time. Aloha.